Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome once again to the Chelsea Podcast, your Yuletide episode. Here we are back together for a little bit of a post-Christmas come down. thanks to your ever-loving Blues. And we're looking back on the Wolves and Palace games. I'm Chaz. And as ever, I have the masterful Mooch with me. How are you, pal?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. enjoying the Yuletide log that is Chelsea at the moment.
It's
just
it's been an interesting Christmas. It's not, you know, it's not all been disastrous, clearly, but it's definitely
underwhelming.
Yeah, I think so. It's not certainly not all been roses. And, you know, very different results, marginally different performances, but we'll come on to that. We are very, very pleased to have back once again a friend of the podcast, Chelsea author, contributor to CFC UK, Mr. Clayton Bierman. Clayton, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. Very well. Good to see you, and compliments this season to all your listeners.
Well, thank you very much, and to you and yours. So what was it all like for you? An overview of the past couple of matches for you in a nutshell.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, it's that
I feel like a sort of gold prospector who's sort of in the water with my wellies on, and I got my little sifter.
Yeah,
I'm looking for granules of comfort, and I think there are a few.
There's no nuggets, but there might be the odd granule.
But there's a lot more muddy water than there is. There you go. How poetic is that?
That's now, beautiful.
It's a tough watch at the moment, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, there's nothing like Chelsea to bring down your Christmas buzz, but. Looking back on the two games, it wasn't all terrible, but let's start with the negative stuff. Let's look particularly at the Wolves game in particular. Looking at both games, really, we were saying before we started recording, I mean, I don't want to be one of those guys who, when we're not doing so well, looks at the team and says, well, this is unremittingly awful. This is ridiculous. You know, how can we be like this? We usually win. We've been winning everything for years. What's going on? I don't want to be that in sort of entitled person, but that's okay if we're slipping down the table a bit and things haven't been working out for various reasons that aren't really, but also that there's an overall feeling that, you know, there's there's still a nugget in there. There's still a kernel of something good. I wonder how much we can really say that. I think, as I've said to Mooch in a couple of messages I sent to you, mate, I think my head might still be a little bit stuck in 2021, you know, and, you know, just 2.5 short seasons ago, we're winning the Champions League. Just 2 years ago, we're winning the World Club Championship. Am I being unfair?
Yeah, and no. I mean, it's a lot has happened in those three years. You know what I mean? There's a complete regime change. We've lost Roman and that, but the whole sort of team and that sort of mentality, I suppose. There's new owners in, a completely new team, which we touched on. You know, from that Champions League squad, like, you know, there's three or four players pretty much now who are at the club. We bought everyone who's, you know, showed a modicum of talent at the age of, you know, 15. And we've had three or four managers. So there's a lot to sort of factor into it, as well as other teams really upping their game and getting a lot of money pumped into them and to their squads.
Yeah, I mean, I can obviously see the arguments and everything you just said makes sense. And you can throw on top of that, you know, that our insane injury list, which seems just never really get any shorter or gets replenished as soon as one person comes back, another one goes out. But, you know, even then, even allowing for the fact this is a team who hasn't played together an awful lot still, the vast majority of our squad are internationals. The vast majority are paid very, very large sums of money, 150K plus a week. You know, and that's, you know, the sort of medium end of things. I feel this is a team that should at least be getting a lot more of the basics right. And, you know, and more often than not doesn't. Clayton, what's your view? Am I out of order?
No, I don't think you are. I think, as we discussed before, there are some fans who have only known success, and therefore this is a shock to them. There are some older fans who encountered a hell of a lot worse than this, and I'm included in that, you know, when we were awful. I mean,
me too.
You know, people, I, you know, it makes me laugh. He's the worst player ever to play for Chelsea. No, he's not. You know, we were sort of teetering towards the bottom of the old second division, the Championship. We were a game away from going into the third tier. So whatever you're being served today is not anywhere. It's not on the same planet as this. But you have to live in the moment. You have to live in the moment, and the moment is that this is a team which has been very, very, well, I call it a team, I don't think it is. This is a squad of players who have been expensively assembled. And I think that's one of the worst things, not the fact that we've just paid ridiculous amount of monies for bang average players. I think that hangs in the air, and everything seems to revolve around the fact of how much money we've spent. I want to strip that away. I want to strip that away because the players don't ask to be bought for X million. You know, it's the club's decision to pay that amount of money for these particular players. Strip the money away and just look at them as individual players. And then you say, okay, we bought X, Y, and Z. Are they any good? You know, okay, you pay £100 million for Caicedo, 115 or whatever we were absolutely striped for. That's not his problem. The thing is he any good? And at the moment, he's not performing at the level that he was performing last year. You know, I think that you have to look at it in that context. And I think as a fan, you're entitled to be frustrated that the club have gone out. They've got all these sporting directors who have gone out and bought all these players, and we're just finding out whether they're any good or not. So I think it's much bigger than oh, we deserve, you know, we should be beating this one, we should be beating that one.
Well, I think the best way to describe this season and what's gone on around it in the transfer window before and probably the two transfer windows before is that we're just consistently frustrating. We're not, we've got great or good players. We've got a good manager. We put in a good performance, but then the consistency isn't there and it just that we don't have that momentum with it. And I'm not sure if we're being overly harsh because a lot of these guys have only been playing together for half a season. And, you know, we've seen in the past where players sort of come into their fruition after a season of bedding into, you know, players like Drogba didn't have the best first season, but obviously turned into club legends. But then I also do, on the flip side of the coin, worry about the mentality and the culture at the club. Like, I watched the John Obi Mikel Jose podcast, and one of the things that really sort of cut through was when, and I know it was a different era and we were able to be a lot more picky with the types of recruitment that we put in, was when they were recruiting players, it wasn't just the best player for that position, it was the personality and the mentality and the fit of that player into the team and into the dressing room, which I think we may be lacking now with our shotgun approach of, okay, cool, let's just buy youth talent and not really think about the next level of mentality.
It was more than just an algorithm. It was, yeah, more than just an algorithm. And now it seems to be, you know, kind of going down the, you know, it's going down stats. Are these people the best in their age group in a certain position? And, you know, I'm not sure all of them are. I mean, I during the Wolves game, I mean, I said just before Wolves scored the second goal, I said this is the most directionless, unfocused, undisciplined, mistake-ridden performance of the season yet, and that's with numerous alternatives to choose from. I mean, I'd even say it was probably up there with some of the dross that we were served up in the second half of last season when, you know, the project wasn't really on the rails. That is the thing. Frustrating is absolutely the word. I'm so, my, you know, all my mates, you included, must be pissed off with me, because if I'm, you know, if I'm watching the game on TV rather than they're live, I usually am texting as well. And all I bloody seem to do at the moment is whinge. And that's not always been the case. And I find it quite hard. I find it quite depressing. I mean, was there anything in the Wolves game that is either, you know, that gave either of you sort of a real glimpse of optimism or is enough of a mitigating factor for us to say, well, we can write that one off? I mean, there's been far too many of those sort of games. Man United was clearly another one. But, you know, is there anything that, I mean, I just found it so aimless. Am I wrong about that? Was there anything that I'm sort of, was there any reasons that I shouldn't have been frustrated other than the bigger ones that you have just, the bigger overarching ones that you've just mentioned, Mooch? Clayton, what do you think?
I think the only thing that you can say is that we are still creating chances. So if we had a striker, we would have won that game because we would have been two up at half time, yeah, and I don't think they would have come back from that. I think you have to sort of also look in context to the fact that a lot of other teams, much better than us, have lost at Wolves this season. But I think the frustration that you speak about is the fact that we give teams a chance. We give them goals. I mean, the second goal was a nightmare. Mm. I mean, I feel really confused by Badiashile because he, when he first came to the club, looked a real class article, and now he just looks shot. And I don't know why that is, whether something off field, whether he's not fully recovered from his injury. But I'm not, you know, I'm not digging him out because he's part of a defence which is pretty hapless at the moment, I think I can say.
Yeah.
So I think that, and we've said this for I don't know how many years, if we had a striker, we would have. You know, and the stat that comes out after the game is that we have missed more clear cut chances. I mean, I don't know how they define that. You know, same with XG, it just drives me bloody mad. You either win a game or you don't win a game. But there has to be a little bit of optimism because that we're still doing some things right. I mean, I think we've just basically got to start doing them together in games and string a little bit of a sequence together when we're not losing, but we're just winning or drawing rather than win, lose, which is what we seem to be going through at the moment.
There is that thing, isn't there, that that seems to be going around that, you know, if we score, if the other team scores first, we don't really look likely to win a game. And that seems to be right. That's probably more fair against the teams who are coming and playing a low block. Wolves, in fairness, weren't a complete low block. They came out, they tried to push us up high. They tried to attack us, put us under pressure. But as you say, I mean, it's the frustration with the front players. And admittedly, we were missing Enzo and Caicedo for the Wolves game, but we Palmer and Sterling, who have arguably along with Gallagher, arguably our form players of the season so far. You know, they were both playing. Clearly, if Sterling had put that absolute cut glass, gilt-edged opportunity away,
or passed it,
probably should have passed it, so someone else could have put it away.
Mm.
It may have been a completely different game. I do find myself that, I wonder if, you know, this is not a team as teams of yore where you think, you know, we'll break through. You know, if we're possession dominant, we'll have a breakthrough. We'll definitely score at the end of it. And, you know, maybe that is down to just not having someone who can get on the end of crosses and what have you. But also, I spend a lot of my time when I'm either rewatching games I've seen live or even at the ground, shouting movement to much to the annoyance of people around me, because I feel like people are waiting, standing around waiting for the perfect pass. It was a bit better against Palace, to be fair.
I was going
to
say, I think Nkunku,
yes,
like when he's on the ball, just even when he stops and jilts, there's a spark there.
Yeah.
And I feel the same with Nani as well. Like, I think they're two players, and they're coming back into the team. Maybe they're not as jaded as some of the other forwards are, but there does seem to be a little bit more of something there, especially with Nkunku when he's on the ball.
Yeah, fair enough. And yeah, I do think him coming in has started to make a little bit of a difference for us in that respect. That he's definitely.
But it's one game as well. Like,
you know, yeah. But I mean, he's. Let's talk about some positives to try and get away from the gloom. I mean, he has made a positive start, to be fair. Didn't have much time or much impact against Newcastle, but I thought he came on. He played well against Wolves. It was lovely to see someone getting on the end of a cross and nodding the ball in.
Yeah.
So he did that. And what was interesting for me was that against Palace, he started as a sort of a number 10 or very advanced midfielder rather than a striker. I mean, Poch said after the game, he can connect us. We miss this kind of playmaker. He's an offensive player who's going to go forward and have space in between the lines. So clearly he's going to play off a number 9. What's your thoughts on that, Clayton? I mean, what do you feel he's brought to the team so far? And are you excited at the thought of him as a kind of number 10, really more of a number 10 or someone off the number 9?
I'm sort of excited by the prospect of what he can possibly do. I think that it will take time for connections. I mean, interestingly, in pre-season, him and Jackson seem to work really well together. I have to say that he just looks class in the same way that when Palmer started playing and we saw what he could do, you thought, yeah, now that's quality. Because you can tell. You can tell if a player's quality. People who have a lot more knowledge of French football than I do say that he is fantastic. And that's great news. We just need to make sure that we have the right recipe of forwards for him to merge into. And at the moment, it just looks like a mishmash. Now, obviously, we are persevering with Jackson on the basis that there isn't anybody else. As much as I love Brozier and I want to do Brozier to do well, since he's come back from his injury, he just hasn't looked anything like the player he was before his injury. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what combination we've got. We've now got a lot of forwards. And it's just, I mean, it was very interesting to see Nonny last night, because I have been singularly unimpressed with him since he's been at the club. Now, okay, he hasn't had a huge amount of opportunity.
Yeah.
But I think in the second half of last season where he did play, his level of crossing was awful and he couldn't finish. But he was enthusiastic. And last night he looked like a man who wanted to prove a point, and he did. You know, I don't know, because I've never been a professional footballer, but when you sit on the bench and you say, and you see something and you think, oh my God, I'm much better than that. Why am I sitting here and they're out there? And maybe that's what he was thinking last night. Maybe he was thinking, oh my God, you know, I can do better than that. And he did. And he was very good. And so, yeah, prove me wrong. The point is that we can be disillusioned, but it doesn't mean we're not supportive. We can be frustrated, you know, where you say about your moaning.
Yeah.
You're allowed to moan.
You know, these players,
and you know they can do better than what they're producing.
Exactly that. And, you know, I'd like to think I've earned the right to have a bit of a moan after, you know, all the years I've got in behind the bell. But the thing with Nonny, I think you're right. I think he was praised. I think he was overpraised last season because he came on and did some, you know, he had some tricks about him and he was quite direct. You know, I've probably felt a bit similar about him at the end of last season as I have done at times with Palmer this season. I do think Palmer's got a bit more class about him, to be fair. But he did come on last night and it immediately felt like things were, you know, moving in a kind of a more positive direction. There was one, we brought it out from defence at one point and he was eventually pulled back by one of the Palace players who got booked. But he had a cut, you know, he broke away there and was sort of, you know, he pirouetted around the guy and he just looked like he wanted to try and make something happen and get himself and the ball forward as quickly as possible, rather than sort of looking for the perfect moment, you know, the absolute perfect pass or the perfect cross. I mean, I think we'll come on to what that might mean to the makeup of the team. But as you say, we do potentially have a selection headache coming up, or Poch does, because we have an awful lot of offensive players, most of whom are, you know, are better out wide. But I do think Nkunku's going to, you know, he is going to link things well. I think he's going to make a difference for us. And I hope he retains his place in the team throughout.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But there were some other... We should talk about some other positives last night. Let's have a look at a few players. Let's talk about Gusto. Let's talk about Mudryk. And I know you want to talk about Georgi Petrovic.
Yep.
What were your moods? Did any of those guys... they seem to be the bright sparks last night. What did you make of them all?
Yeah, I thought best game I've seen from Gusto this season. It was great. Mudryk again looked a danger. And you know, it's what you want to see from him. He got a goal and he was just penetrating and driving while he was on the pitch. And I want to see more of that. And I want to see more of that consistently.
I was going to say to you, I thought he had a terrific first half. I think, though, we are still yet to see him do that through the entirety of the game. In the second half, and it may not have entirely been down to him. It might have been, he got a lot less of the ball in the second half, but for the 15 minutes or so he played in the second half or whatever it was, he went very quiet again. And I say that might have been to do with the service. It might have been to do with us sort of starting a bit gingerly after having lost a goal just before half time. But are we going to see that? Do we feel like we're going to see that 90 minutes? Is it just a question of waiting and waiting and letting him play himself into that? Because as you say, on the evidence of the first half, that was a real sign that that's the player that we paid, whatever, 89 million or whatever it was for. He really looked, his passing and his wanting to get forward and get in the box was very, very good.
Do you want to jump in there or was that?
No, you go.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's we touched on it in the pod before where we've invested a lot of money into this chap. He's a raw talent. And I think we do just have to keep our faith and keep playing him so that he does build that confidence. And so he does get that game time. And so he does develop into the player that he can certainly become. Under Poch, what he's done with previous players who have just been raw talent or maybe just diamonds in the rough with Son. If we can get a player like that out of him, that'd be fantastic. And I think it's just going to take time. I think we write off last season because it was just chaotic a maelstrom. Whereas this season we've got a bit more of a focus with Poch at the head. We can see that the chances are coming. It's just that final third where it's just not quite happening. And if we maintain faith in the youngsters we've paid a lot of money for, and let's be honest, we don't have much of a choice because they're on 8-year contracts and no one else is going to sign them. And then we're going to amortize this stuff because we're not going to have the financial fair play allowance to buy more players in a few years. So we don't really have much of a choice.
Yeah, I mean, he, as I say, there were glimpses of real ability last night. And I hope he does manage to stay in the team because, as I say, we're going to have this influx of kind of wide and attacking players now, and it's going to be. I mean, he's very much a specialist, so he's possibly slightly under threat from that point of view. Clayton, you wanted to talk about Georgi Petrovic, who I think has, you know, done everything we could have asked him to really so far.
Yeah, and I thought last night he was quietly very impressive. He made a couple of really good saves in the second half, a couple of breakaways, and encouraging. I remember listening to a podcast right at the beginning of the season, and it was an American guy who watched him last season, and he said, I think by December he'll be the number one goalkeeper. Now, that was perhaps a little bit, of guesswork, but I think that subject to what happens against Luton, because I think that will be his first real baptism of fire. I think that really will be. I think you look at the opponents that we've had since he's been there. You know, Sheffield United and Crystal Palace. Basically, I think probably have one shot between them, not one shot because he saved a couple. So I'm contradicting myself, but. He hasn't been peppered, and Wolves didn't exactly pepper him, but I've been really impressed with. He looks very mature. He looks good. He's better with his feet than Sanchez is, which I think we knew anyway. So I think Poch is going to have a bit of a job when Sanchez is fit. Obviously, don't want to speak too soon. He's only had four appearances, but yeah, I think he looks good. So I think, you know, when we talk about what we've brought in, we do actually have to look at the good things that the club have done. You know, it's easy because there's far more of them that have been unimpressive. And you mentioned Gusto, and I thought Gusto was outstanding last night. I know that it was injuries. I know that we were fiddling about, but I did get very frustrated the fact that Gusto was moved to left back. Been brilliant at right back. And the substitutions that Poch made last night meant that Connor was basically pushed all the way forward. And the only person who'd been basically the motor in that midfield last night was Connor. So I was a little frustrated with the substitutions because I actually thought that they negated our two best players. In the end, it didn't matter. But I just thought that was all baffling. But Gusto is young, you know.
20.
Yeah, he looks the business. I think he looks fabulous.
Yeah, I was very impressed with him last night. I mean, not only getting forward, and he obviously, you know, gave us the sort of, you know, wing back thrust that we've been getting from Rhys on that side and Chilwell on the other side in recent seasons, but also defensively, he looked pretty good last night. Made a couple of really good blocks. Seemed to largely be in the right place at the right time. Looked very confident playing the ball out from defence, getting into good positions, finding people. We did tend to play ourselves into corners a little bit too much, but I don't think that was really so much him. I mean, we're going to have to talk about our defence a bit at some point, aren't we? Because there are definite issues there, but I think we're all pretty, frustrated about the amount of times that we've either had to or seemingly Poch has chosen to play square pegs in round holes. And the sooner that can come to an end, the better. So, yeah, looking at the defence, at the moment, Levi Colwill came off quite early. He had not, for me, covered himself in much glory. He's got a decent left peg. Obviously, he's got a nice pass on him. He can, although doesn't often, get forward. Obviously, we've had some problems at right back, although with Gusto back, I would imagine that berth will be his without any issue. And in the middle, it looked like Thiago Silva was supposed to be given a full rest last night, but it was decreed that that couldn't be the case, and he had to come on in the second half. Who for you guys should make up those three? Let's assume that while Rhys is out, certainly that Gusto's going to be our right back. Who should be taking those other three places? I mean, Martsen has played left back, but at other clubs, as far as I know, he hasn't actually yet done that for us, even as a substitute. He's come on in all in a variety of positions, but or started in a variety of positions. I mean, he was well out of position last night, but he's not started at left back, and yet we know he can play that.
When is Chilwell back? Because his injury should be
soon-ish,
but like, it's
he's training, but I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he's. I think we're a good few, you know, I think we're still several weeks away from, as far as I know. I have no indication it's any going to be any sooner than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's frustrating because it's just been, you know, we've played so many players in these wing-back positions that, you know, just, I mean, and we're playing Levi Colwell there, who seemingly, consistently, when we know he's a fantastic centre back and we should be playing him there. And maybe there's an argument that we need to start bedding him in. And I mean, I don't want to speak bad of Thiago because he's been great for us for the 3-4 seasons he's been with us. But maybe we do need to start forming a partnership with someone who's going to be his successor, essentially. And if that's Badiashile and Colwell or Fofana, if he ever plays for us again, maybe that's something that we look at, or De Sarzi. I don't know.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, I do think, you know, the thing is that presumably, as much as anything, the reason Thiago Silva is playing as many games as he is because, you know, maybe there isn't quite the faith. I don't think anyone, as Clayton's already alluded to, you know, Badiashile looked a really good player, has perhaps had a couple of bad games. The last couple of games haven't been his greatest. And also, I mean, he was taken off, and I wonder if that might have been, as he might have been a niggle or something like that, which has helped cause that. But I really want there to be, you know, a settled back four, but I do feel like, you know, Colwell should not be playing left back. I mean, I think he was culpable again last night for the goal. I think he has been on, you know, three or four occasions this season. I'm thinking the Spurs goal. I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember the team who played where they had a curler. Brighton, it might have been one of the Brighton goals. I find he's not, I don't think he's fully comfortable on that side. Clayton, who would you see going in there?
I think the reason Silva's playing is to hold the hands of the guys who are there, and to basically, he is, for all intents and purposes, the captain, even though he's not the captain. Badiashile, when he first came, when he was playing with Thiago, he looked fantastic. The minute he wasn't playing with Thiago, he didn't look quite so fantastic. I think the whole Colwell thing is extremely frustrating. I'm pretty convinced the only reason he's playing there is for height. Because however much I would like to criticise Britt, so the one thing he's not stupid. He must see that Colwell is struggling there. Colwell's basically got to start at centre half, and then I think he is, you know, let's let him mature in that position with another. I'm singularly unimpressed with De Sarzi. I think he looks bang average to me. I don't think he's any better than Chiloba. Now, Chiloba obviously has been out the whole season, so to compare them is nonsense, because if we can't play him, then we can't play him. But the chances are that Chiloba will be sold. And this is one of those baffling decisions that we got somebody in who was not infinitely better. Now, okay, he's only been there a couple of months. The defence has basically been all over the place this season. And I think it's one of those things where the injuries have cost us more than anywhere else, because you can't have a settled back four when two of your back four, your starters, are never playing. You know, and everybody else is being shifted to accommodate and trying to make up for the injuries. So I don't think there's any standout candidates to be the two in the middle. I think De Zerzi was bought because he played with Badiashile in Monaco. So I'm assuming there was some sort of partnership there before. But no, it's all quite difficult, I think. And as much as it pains me to say it, I think Fofana's just, I can't see Fofana coming back, to be honest.
You know, he's back to the player that he
massive injuries. I think that they'll have to go to the market. Not in January, but the end of the season.
So, Chaz, I think to answer your question is it's a hard question to answer. Like, who is our fullback pairing? Because we don't have choices. Because whenever we have someone who plays for any sustained period of time, they get injured, and it's not who we'd like. It's who can play in that position. And I think that's one of the things we do need to be fair to Poch. Cucurella's out for God knows how long with whatever has happened to his ankle. Chilwell is coming back soon, but we've seen how readily Poch is, how averse to rushing people back he is with Lavia and Nkunku. Reese, we all know his problems and injuries, and Malagusto is the only one who we can see is a nailed on starter at the moment. So it's tough. It's going to be Gusto and Colwell, I assume, but I feel the options aren't there.
I mean, Martin hasn't covered himself in glory for me. I thought he was off the pace last night. Admittedly, he was playing on the right hand side, and admittedly, he was, you know, playing an advanced position. I'd be interested to see giving him a go at left back, just for a sake of variance, give him a go. It is a frustrating thing, and it does look like, you know, the transfer option or buying option is going to have to be looked into again. Talking of the transfer window, The Athletic today says it's nailed on that Gallagher, Broja, Martin, Chalabar and Malang Sarr, who are all on their way out. I mean, obviously, you know, we'll come back onto the Connor thing in a minute, but would you, if the other four were to go, would you lose too much sleep? I'm assuming Malang Sarr we're not too worried about. We're talking Broja, Martin and Chalabar, all sort of vaguely homegrown. Are we, that's presumably the thinking behind those names. They're all academy products. Are we losing any sleep about that? Clearly, we're going to be losing sleep over Gallagher, and we'll come on to him.
I think it depends on what we bring in, if I'm honest. I think this is something that we've seen with players like, you know, we've just going back to Livermenko and Hall, who we've had great players, great youth players, who we know are good players, and we've let them go, and then we brought in similar sort of players or players who probably aren't as good. If we're letting all these players go and we're using it to using that free money, so to speak, you know, the fact that it's an academy player and it's just pure profit to sign Victor Osimhen, then it's going to be a little bit more palatable than if it's to sign three or four youth players who might not be.
I agree, but I do think, you know, I see what you're saying, and I do agree with that. Obviously, you know, we want to use the money. If we're going to get the money, let's use the money wisely. I don't think Trevor Chalabar ever really let us down. I think he had he played some really good games for us. I mean, I can't remember if he played both finals against Liverpool a couple of years ago, but he definitely he played in the League Cup final, definitely. And
he had a horrid start to that. And then he just grew into the game, and he was fantastic. You know, this is my bugbear is the fact that, yeah, go out and buy people, but they have to be better than what you've got.
Mm.
I can't see in a lot of positions where we've gone out and bought people who are better than who we had at the time and or have subsequently left us. The Mattson thing is a complete mystery. He was player of the year for Burnley in their record points total. Okay, it was in the Championship. Mm. But, you know, Jared Bowen played in the Championship. He seems to have adopted, you know, he seems to be okay. You know, there are other players. Robertson at Liverpool, he was at Hull.
Mm.
So playing in the Championship doesn't mean that you're an inferior player. Now, Mattson played a left wing back for Burnley, scored goals and played really well. Now, I cannot understand why he just hasn't been given a chance.
Mm.
I mean, playing him in midfield last night, it was like playing with 10 men. He was completely lost. I don't know what he was supposed to be doing. And I don't think he knew what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, agreed.
And so I think, you know, going back to your original question, I would be upset to see Trevor go out of the ones that you've mentioned, with the caveat of Connor. I think Mattson will be something that I'm not sure he'll come back to buy it. I really don't know about Brozier, because I think, as we said earlier, since he's come back, he's not looked the player that he was. Whether he ever will be, I don't know. But as Mooch said, just it's what we get in. It's all very well to get rid of all these players, and we know that their profit it's what comes in, comes back the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem that it's a sort of nailed on business model now to, you know, develop on our academy players and then sell them off because of the pure profit thing. But, you know, we just have to look back at sort of Gaye, Fikayo Tomori, Billy Gilmore, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you saw, the only thing I would say about all of that is it makes perfect sense to me, as you say, if you're either bringing in better players or you feel like, you know, they are going, you know, maybe they've, you can see where their top level is going to be. When it's someone who is in your team, and I'm talking about Connor now, when it's someone who's playing in your team regularly, it's not only one of your better players, he's consistently your best player, he's consistently your standout player. Beyond that, again, he's absolutely loved and appreciated by the supporters. Above and beyond that, again, he clearly brings something to the team that nobody else in the squad yet does, which is that sort of combative box-to-box midfielder role. It seems more and more likely that he's going to go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18+. I think this might be hardball because he's being paid pittance on his contract. He's only got 18 months left. And if we're offering him an 8-year contract, when, how old is he? 26? 25? He's not that 23, old?
23, I think.
23? But I mean, even at 23, an 8-year contract is basically the last big contract you're going to get.
Yeah.
And if that's what's on the table and he's not taking that, then, and we're not prepared to go any shorter or offer him some crazy money, then he has to look out for himself. And maybe that's the butting point or the point of contention that. Because it's crazy. The manager doesn't want to sell him. He doesn't want to go. The fans don't want him to go. I'm sure the dressing room is the same. It's just agents and business.
Yeah, I'm just, the way I'm looking at it is, I'm not really putting it on the player. I'm you know, I am putting it on the club. And from, excuse me, from everything I hear, this is a situation where there isn't, excuse me, there isn't an offer coming from the club. I don't know if, I mean, there appears to be no negotiation going on. Sorry, I'm going to have to, guys, you take it on because I'm going to have to cough.
I think that whilst you choke, I'll carry on. I think it's insanity.
Mm.
Basically, what's happening is that they are trying to rectify their own mistakes in terms of financial fair play and how much they've paid for other players to balance the books. And, you know, you just had to look at him last night when all around were passing sideways. He was picking up and driving, and he's always there. And he's been exceptional. I mean, I think one of the things that a lot of people have been disappointed by this season is that we all heard that Poch was going to improve players, that he works with players and he improves them. And to be fair, the only player that you can actually say he's done that with is Gallagher. Because he looks sensational. He, you know, he always tries hard. He was sort of like, I know people don't rate him. I know people say he's not technically proficient, blah, de, blah, de, blah. But every good team needs a player like Connor.
Mm.
Selfless, puts himself before the team and puts a shift in and gives a shit. I think that the club will, I mean, I don't know how badly Enzo is injured. I mean, there's been lots of nonsense talked about. He's got some sort of muscle problem. You know, I don't know if Caicedo's fit. And Lavia's only just come back. So to actually lose your best midfield player would be insanity from a football point of view. But I'm not sure that, you know, we are being run by accountants, not football people. And the other thing is that Clearlake have been given a bit of an easy ride so far, considering the calamitous 18 months that they've been in charge. Things have been pretty, I think the fans have been pretty tolerant about what's going on. I think if they sell him, I think there will be a lot of dissatisfaction amongst the fans. I really do.
Well, I hope I'm wrong about it. I mean, it just feels to me like, say, because there doesn't seem to be any, because this policy, this model does seem to be the one that they're working to, and there doesn't seem to be any sign of any new negotiation going on. And pretty much every time I open a football-related article online, it says something about us, you know, being willing to accept 50 million for him. You know, I think he could be gone, and it will be a massive shame. And I do hope people will be pissed off, and I hope they'll show that they're pissed off. Okay, let's just put you on the spot for an end of year, a little end of year question, chaps. There's a new year coming. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a transfer window. Hopefully, we've got players coming back from injury. Hopefully, we'll be bringing in a striker. What are the three things you think we need to do to improve in the new year? And I'm not necessarily saying that to make us, you know, suddenly a title-threatening team, but things that will see us going, will see us moving in the right direction a great deal more next year. Or if it's only one or two, that's fine as well.
I think I'd really like us to be able to retain possession.
Yeah.
Because I think that is something that we struggle with. We do give the ball away a lot more than I would like to see. I mean, I think last night, one of the things that was overlooked in all the sort of hoo-ha of the game was that Palace were monstrous in their pressing.
Mm.
I think as much as there was a huge amount of frustration that we couldn't pick it up in the second half, they pressed us. They really did. So it is difficult to retain the ball, but I think one of the problems that we have is the fact, and this is not a dig at Jackson, it's just a fact, is that he can't hold the ball up.
Mm.
He gets bullied off the ball too easily, and he basically we need an outlet. You know,
that's true.
And that's it. But I do, I think one of the frustrations is that we're not doing the basics. And the basics are passing to your teammates, not giving the ball away, not giving goals away. And I think that's what I want to see. I want to see us sort of grow up as a team. I'm sort of fairly optimistic that we're growing a team. I think there are signs that there are players there that can be good. But yeah, I think I just want more organisation, and I want better ball retention.
I'm going to go with the opposite. I want to see more adventure and the from the forwards. I want to see people trying that pass to unlock those defenses, and if that is at the risk of losing possession or something not happening, because it's not happening at the moment. We've got crazy possession. I know that's what you're saying. We're giving the ball away too much. But when we are giving the ball away, it's not when we're doing something adventurous or fantastic. It's just through monotony, and when Cole Palmer's on the ball, and he seems to be the only one who will try something in box office or something a little bit different. You might see a little bit of that with Nkunku as well, but it's, you know, one start. It's hard to sort of pin your hopes on that, you know, too much, or you shouldn't do. So I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Raheem sort of going for it a bit more, and I'd like to see the same with Mudryk and Nani, and us going forward from the midfield rather than sideways. And I'd like to also really see a stingy defence. I want to see less of the individual errors, and I want to see more goals from set pieces. We've got some big lumps in there, and we don't seem to be a threat as much as we were in yonder years from corners and free kicks.
Well, I'd sum all that up as accuracy, and I think that's the thing I'd want to see a whole lot more of. I'd like to see a whole lot more creative movement from the team. So getting yourself into space is such a basic. Pass the ball to a teammate, then get into space so you can receive it again. The number of times there's been like swathes of grass with no one in it, or four players stretched along the edge of a penalty box with their markers right next to them, waiting for a perfect pass, not making the move. So really it's movement off the ball that I want to see more. Mm. But and more accuracy, both with our passing, because a lot of the time we're given that. I know exactly what you're saying, Mooch. We do need to, you know, we need to take a little bit of a chance more often. But to do that, the basis of that is that they're going to need to be a whole lot more accurate with their passing than they are. There's so many sloppy passes.
And finishing, most importantly.
The other thing with the accuracy is that, you know, we've got to stick the ball. And, you know, I love about Cole Palmer that he'll try and take the ball around a player and have a shot. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're sailing well into the crowd. And, yeah, let's take more shots. That's fine. I'm well up for that. But let's get working on the bleeding accuracy, lads. You know, it's been the thing I always write when I'm making notes, watching again, the thing I keep writing over and over and over again is sloppy. And that is the big difference, I think, between this team and this squad so far, and squads that we have had in the recent past. The sloppiness, the lack of precision is what I find most frustrating. Guys, I'm going to wind it up there. We're going to move on in a short while to our preview show, and Clayton will be welcoming you back for that. Listen, I hope we manage to maintain a smile into 2024, and actually things get a lot better, and maybe Santa might bring us a late Christmas present of a striker as well. In the meantime, it's been great having you both. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Thank you for having me on.
Always good to have you, mate. And Mooch, good to see you as ever, mate. And we'll be back very shortly.
Cool. Sam, wicked.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.